Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word in the epistle reading from St. Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 6, as read earlier. And we'll get into that in a second. But I'd like to invite you to think about something that's your favorite. Pick something that's a favorite of yours. It can be anything you like. Just something that you can put your name on. Something that you could put your name on that's your favorite. What's the favorite thing you'd like to put your name on? I'll tell you what mine is. For me, I'm thinking about my favorite bottle of wine. And I'm telling you, this is my favorite bottle of wine of all time, okay? It's a bottle of wine that my wife and Rachel and I had on our anniversary in 2002. We had just moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania for my job. I had torn Rachel away from her life already, and again. And we were in transition, and it was about 9 months later when our anniversary came up, and so I wanted to take her to a really nice place. So, you know, I asked a colleague of mine at work, you know, what's a top-notch restaurant that we could go to? Well, he recommended this place. It was called Strawberry Hill, I think. And he said, you know, they have a wine there. They have this great wine list, but they have a wine there that's called Nickel and Nickel. Nickel and Nickel. So, you know, it was kind of expensive. The kind of expensive that you only have on your anniversary, okay? But it was really special. And so I had them, you know, with the reservation. I said, can you get this bottle of wine? Can you have it on the table? Can you have it opened and poured for us when we arrive? That was the surprise I had for Rachel that day. So that's why it's my favorite bottle of wine. And it's no relation. Nickel and Nickel is some people out in California. But I wish there were a relation. But that's why it's my favorite. And it's got, you know, our names on it. So there you go. Well, Jesus, God, puts his name on us in baptism. As we read in the Gospel reading earlier today from Luke chapter 3, when God the Father speaks from heaven, he says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. It's like he's saying, this is my favorite. I love this guy. This is my Son. And in your baptism, he says the same thing to you. He puts his name on you. And he says, this is my son. This is my daughter. My favorite. The one in whom I'm well pleased. The one I love. Because of Jesus Christ. You're his favorite. You've got his name on you. How about that? Kind of reminds me of St. Paul. Before he was called St. Paul, he was Saul, right? Saul. And this was when he was persecuting all the Christians. He goes on the road to Damascus. You probably all know the story. He goes on the road to Damascus. He's confronted by the risen Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ himself, who says, why are you persecuting me? And it completely turns his life around. It completely transforms his life. From one who is like totally against Christianity to the leading proponent of it. He spends the rest of his life speaking to the Gentiles about Jesus Christ. The fact, the first thing he does after he's struck blind for 3 days in Damascus, Ananias comes And what does he do? He baptizes Saul, soon to become known as Paul. He baptizes him. And immediately, Paul goes to the synagogue and starts preaching about Jesus. He says, he is the Son of God. Exactly what he had been denying a week earlier. How about that for change? How about that for change? Well, St. Paul says in today's text that we are united with Jesus because of baptism. Jesus' baptism and our baptism. It's like we get a brand new name on the day of our baptism, and that name is Christian. It's kind of a simple thing that happens. It's simple, ordinary water that's poured on you, or maybe you're immersed in it, or maybe it's just sprinkled on you. But it's combined with God's holy word and promise, which says to you, you are mine now, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your name now is Christian. That's why they call it a christening. Your Christian name is put on you. Whatever it was before, that's what it is now. Christian. Christian. It's like your name has become the family name of God now. Because now you're adopted by Him and you're His favorite. And it all happens because of baptism. I'd like to talk to you today about your baptism and Jesus' baptism. Because it's like they're two sides of the same coin. Now, Jesus' baptism was different from your baptism and my baptism, but they're connected. You see, when Jesus stepped into that River Jordan to be baptized by John, he didn't do it to have his sins forgiven. He had no sins. No, at Jesus' baptism, he undertook a different mission. He went into that water to absorb your sins and my sins. How about that? To take your sins and my sins and to carry them to a cross, because that was his mission. His mission to save you and me and to save the whole world that he had created. That's why he entered into human flesh in the first place. That's why he entered into that baptism. To take on our sins and the result of our sins, which is death. And that's when it begins. You see, Jesus starts at that point what you could call the great exchange. Exchanging His righteousness to us and receiving from us our sins. Exchanging His life for us in exchange for our death, the death that we deserve. He starts this great reversal to bring creation back to the way it should be by taking a sentence of death in exchange for our parole, so that in our baptism, what we receive is a parole to eternal life, as Paul says, so that we may walk in the newness of life. You could say, because of that newness, that's why we're born again. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Because we die with Jesus, a spiritual death on the cross as well. What St. Paul is talking about today. We become united with Christ in our baptism. That's how we become that favorite son with whom the Father is well pleased. You see, our old self, our sinful self that we were talking about in that confession, That's what was crucified with Christ. That is what died. Died to sin. You think about it, you've already been killed. That second death that Revelation talks about, the second death is a spiritual death. But you don't face it anymore. It's happened. It's over and done with for you. That's what happens in baptism. That's what Christ took for you, so that you may receive spiritual life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. That's the promise that you have to look forward to. A resurrection unto eternal life. This is the greatest news of all time. One baptism. Because of one baptism. One baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We were singing earlier about being set free. Free from what? Free from the captivity and bondage of sin. By one baptism. I don't know about you, but I've seen this commercial on TV about how great it would be if you could get instantly healthier by eating one piece of broccoli. Or whether you don't like broccoli or not, doesn't matter. You could stuff it down and that would be it. Or one blueberry, you're instantly healthier. Wouldn't that be great? Or my favorite, one sit-up. And you're in shape. Once in a while, I get down on the floor and I do one sit-up when that commercial comes on. And Laura just laughs at me. Now, I think the point of that ad is that you can't just do one sit-up. You can't just eat one blueberry or one bite of broccoli and instantly you have good health. Why? Because that would be miraculous. Miraculous. Well, I'm here to tell you today that we have a miraculous God. That's why He's called God. He can do the miraculous. And He does the miraculous. In your baptism, He can wipe out all of your sin in baptism and give you eternal life. Only God could do that. He does it through simple water and His holy word. And the power is not in the water, it's in His word and promise. So God gives you all of this in your baptism. Forgiveness of sins. Unity with Christ. Christ's actual holiness. The holiness of Christ Himself. And His righteousness He gives you in your baptism. That's why He's well pleased with you. And He gives you the Holy Spirit into your heart. With this newness of life. And the promise of resurrection and eternal life. His grace is like this gushing fountain of forgiveness for you. It's like there's this flood of forgiveness that drowns out all the sin and all the death and all the crap we have to live with in this life. It drowns out all that by His grace and forgiveness. So we come to Paul's question. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? You see, Satan will continue to tempt us. He will say to you, you've already been forgiven. You're going to be forgiven by God. So why not take advantage of that? this is our temptation. The minute somebody gives us a get-out-of-jail-free card, an unlimited get-out-of-jail-free card, by the way, what's the first thing we immediately start thinking about? How can I put this card to good use? What are all the things I could do and be forgiven? Is that good use of that gift? That free gift, to me it's free because of the price that Jesus paid for it. It's not so free. He paid for every one of my sins on that cross. If we take for granted God's grace, if we take for granted God's forgiveness, we abuse it. It's almost like refusing it. It misses the whole point of what God has done for you. It misses the whole point of why Jesus entered that baptism to take on your sin. It's like taking that expensive bottle of wine, pouring it down the drain. Or the toilet, really. It just cheapens it. So what are we to do with this? St. Paul writes in verse 11, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because you are united to Christ in baptism, just as Jesus died to sin once and for all, so did you." That is why we're singing about freedom. You're free from sin. Free. You don't have to sin anymore. You're not captive to it. You're not dominated by it. You're not subject to it. You're not burdened by it. You're free of it. Free of it. Receive that forgiveness. Live in that freedom. Enjoy it. It's a wonderful thing. We don't face that second death anymore, that spiritual death. Our mortal bodies haven't caught up yet, so Satan will still tempt us. But our mortal bodies, too, will catch up. That's the promise of the resurrection. Resurrection just like Jesus Christ. A resurrection just like He met Paul on that road, face to face. It changed his life. And it changes your life, too. Even if you don't realize it today. Jesus calls us to live in His life. To live in that freedom from sin. That freedom from that burden. Live in grace. And don't return to that captivity and that bondage. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because in the power of your baptism, a power that comes from the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit actually helps you to resist sin. You have the freedom to resist sin that you didn't have before. So it doesn't have to take over your life. So it doesn't have to dominate you. So you can actually live freely and do real good works, true good works. Good works that aren't motivated by fear of the law, but motivated by what Christ has done for you. And sometimes, in your life, you don't even realize that you're doing them. Have you ever done a good work that somebody told you about afterwards? It's like, well, I didn't realize it was a good work. I didn't realize it. I just did it. Why did you do that? Because your identity is now in Christ. Your identity is now Christian. God put His name on you and said, this person is mine. This person is mine. I sent my Son to die for him. Jesus said, I went to the cross to die for you. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus went to the cross to die for you. So He's living in you now. That's what He gives you in baptism. That's why your name is Christian. So when you do a good work, even if you don't know that you're doing it, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. Because of your baptism, that frees you from sin and death. Eternal death. It gives you eternal life instead. That's what you exchanged with Christ. Since we've been talking about wine and christening, makes me think of the way they christen ships. When they name a ship before they send it out on its maiden voyage, traditionally what do? They break a bottle of wine against the bow. Hopefully the bottle breaks and not the bow, right? And they say, well, this is the name of the ship. And that champagne, that bubbly wine of exuberance and celebration and joy spills out all over. What a great way to picture your baptism as you wake up each day and say, I'm going to start the day today as a baptized Christian, christened by God Himself with His name. I'm going to live in that. That's what it is to be a Christian. To be a baptized Christian. That's what God has done for you. So you can walk around all day with the name of the triune God written on your forehead and on your heart. Marked as God's favorite, His favorite child. Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you.